Welcome to Inside Public Accounting, the podcast where we talk about the numbers and the narrative shaping the accounting profession. I'm Rob Brown.
And I'm Chelsea Summers, Executive Director of Inside Public Accounting.
And Chelsea, as always, lovely to have you with us. The voice and the image of Inside Public Accounting, doing some amazing things in getting to the metrics and the stories behind the numbers. Today, we're tackling one of the most expensive mistakes accounting firms make. It's very dramatic, and we do want to get your attention. But we're talking about promoting great technicians into leadership roles without preparing them to lead.
And then wondering why managers are burned out and new partners feel overwhelmed.
Yes. And leadership under pressure in uncertain conditions, Chelsea, is a narrative that I'm hearing a lot coming out of accounting firms, particularly with the sheer amount of change that is going on and the outside disruptors. So let's start with the uncomfortable truth. In most firms, the best tax senior becomes the manager and the best manager becomes the partner. That's the game, isn't it? That's the system.
It is. Promotion is typically based on utilization, billable production, technical proficiency, and client retention. Those metrics, they do matter. They're measurable, they're clean, but the skills that are required at the next level are fundamentally different.
And it's the same in other sectors, isn't it, too? I just remember being back in a sales role, Chelsea, and the person that sold the most was turned into sales manager or sales director when they stopped selling, and they've now got to coach and mentor people. So from an accounting perspective, break this down for us. What exactly is happening?
So manager level work, that requires delegation, coaching, conflict management, scope control, emotional regulation, and leading up to the partners and then leading down to the staff. The partner level work requires business development, strategic decision making, governance, financial stewardship, and cultural leadership. None of those are tested in a tax return review.
That's so true. You can manage numbers, but managing people who are complex, fragile, emotional creatures, unpredictable creatures, it's a different game. And what we're doing, Chelsea, it seems to me, is we're rewarding that technical excellence and presuming that all of those leadership qualities are magically going to appear once they get promoted.
Yeah. And when it doesn't, we treat it as an individual failure instead of a system failure.
I wonder if you blame it a little bit on the culture as well. If people have been there long enough, they absorb the culture. And so we assume they can lead better, but it's not the case. And is things getting worse, Chelsea, or have things always been like this?
I really feel like it's getting worse. The pressure on leadership roles has increased significantly. Firm leaders are navigating private equity structures, M&A integrations, advisory expansion, offshoring staffing models, hybrid workforce management, margin pressure, succession risk. I could keep naming things. The complexity of partnership today is far greater than it was 15 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, I had a lot during the COVID pandemic where accountants, the pressures that were put on them, they had to be more than technically great. They had to be great people. They were expected to be counselors, therapists, shoulders to cry on for their clients and psychiatrists and all kind of manner of things. We expect so much of them now. They've got to be technology experts. They've got to be AI experts these days. The rule is clearly evolving, but I don't know if the qualifications, the examinations have evolved, and maybe the preparation model for leadership hasn't evolved either.
I think that's correct. We still operate as if technical mastery equals readiness for ownership.
Yeah.
In IPA conversations, one of the consistent themes that we hear is leadership fatigue at the manager and senior manager levels. They're carrying so much more responsibility earlier in their careers and often without structured development to handle that.
And the paradox is that accountants are risk-averse people. They're in the business of risk management, mitigating risk for the clients. So you put people in leadership roles, it's a high-risk situation. You've got to retain them if succession is going to work, but you're putting them under all kinds of pressures.
Yeah, and if you don't intentionally build that leadership depth, you don't have a pipeline for the future. You have hope. And unfortunately, that hope is what we see lead a lot of firms to mergers when the right leadership structure and leadership bench isn't in place.
You were like younger than me, Chelsea, but I remember back in the day where you got promoted based on longevity, on tenure, how long you'd been there. If you were willing to be chained to a desk for 10, 15 years in a dark room and you served your time, you would naturally get promoted. But there was a chance back then because everyone was all in one place. there was leadership by walking the corridors, and you would have conversation with people and it would be absorbed and you'd be mentored and coached on the job. It doesn't seem to be the case these days. So in your view, what needs to change?
I think leadership development can't just be reserved for high potentials. It needs to be embedded firm-wide. Those soft skills aren't remedial. They're really foundational. That means communication training at the senior level, feedback training before someone starts supervising staff, client shadowing before someone is expected to own the relationships, emotional intelligence assessments and training, and some structured coaching.
And when we look at what firms spend their money on when it comes to training and development, it's the regulatory stuff. It's the requirements of the job. It's the technical stuff. Because the CPE these days, or in the UK, we call it CPD, continued professional development. Firms spend thousands on that stuff, but it's not around the leadership development.
Yeah, I think that technical education feels safer. It's quantifiable. It's compliance driven. Leadership development requires some long-term thinking. But if you want to sustain growth, it's a strategic investment, not a perk to have that soft skill training.
Well, you mentioned soft skills. I talk to many people. They're not a lover of the term soft skills. How do you feel about it?
They're words. You know, we all understand what the word means. So we can call it what we want. We can call it, you know, just leadership skills or, you know, whatever we want to call it. But
the non-technical stuff.
Yeah, the non-technical skills that the staff need.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something more structural. Not everyone wants to lead people. Not everyone is born to be or aspires to be a manager or a boss, do they?
No. And I think that's where a lot of firms get into trouble. There are incredibly talented professionals who love that technical depth. They want to be the subject matter experts. They don't want to manage teams or have difficult performance conversations. But our current model says if you want to advance, you must supervise people. That creates accidental managers.
And that leads to burnout.
And resentment.
Yeah.
A modern structure to this might include parallel tracks, a technical expert with compensation growth and prestige, and then a leadership track that's focused on people management and client ownership. Both of those are valuable. Both can have long careers, but they require different competencies.
We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store.
So advancement shouldn't require managing people if that's not your strength.
Yeah, and that one change alone could really reduce mid-level churn substantially.
I'm thinking of back when I was a teacher. There were two ways to ascend in the teaching ladder. One was to be a really good teacher. That was the technical side of things. And you could only get so far because if you wanted to be a head teacher or principal or something like that, it took you out of the classroom and away from teaching and into the realm of managing people. Mm-hmm. And that required a whole different skill set. So, okay. Let's move to partnership specifically. These are the leaders and the would-be leaders. They've got people under them and teams around them. What should they be doing in terms of preparation to be partner?
Well, it should start much earlier than it typically does. We often don't expose future partners to the firm financials or governance conversations, pricing strategy, capital structure, strategic planning, until they're already being considered for equity or sometimes once they're already at the table. And that's completely backwards.
Yeah. So what would better preparation look like? Presumably getting to this earlier.
Yeah. So it can include things like rotations on different leadership committees or shadowing partner meetings, leading pricing discussions in their segments, or owning segments of strategic initiatives, exposure to succession planning conversations. If partnership is ownership, then future partners need ownership exposure.
I love those examples because traditionally firms have gone to external leadership programs and sent them on courses to be a leader. And they get a bit of coaching, a bit of mentoring, but everything you're talking about there, those rotations, those shadowing partner meetings, being involved in those leadership discussions, that's all happening inside the firm as part of business as usual, right?
It is. And as I've said many, many, many times on this podcast, and I'm sure I will continue to say, the lack of transparency inside of these firms is becoming detrimental. If firms had a little bit more transparency and said, this is what a partner meeting looks like, and this is what our firm financials look like, that exposes those young leaders or young professionals who may become the future leaders to what that ownership really looks like.
Yeah, that seems like best practice. So let's get controversial for a moment. Should firms hire leaders from outside accounting? We're seeing more C-suite models, the breakdown of the traditional partnership hierarchy, the bringing in non-accountants to manage lead firms.
Yeah, I think in some cases it makes sense. Not every leadership role at a firm requires a CPA license. Some firms might need professional service operators or HR leaders with scale expertise or cultural architects, client service executives. Especially in firms that are growing quickly or integrating acquisitions, I think opening the pool for leadership candidates and keeping an open mind to who might be a leader inside of your firm, it will be especially helpful.
That's going to require a huge amount of humility and an external perspective.
It does. But if your firm is operating like a $200 million enterprise, you may need leadership capabilities that go beyond tax expertise.
I read about a firm recently in the UK, top 10 firm. They took on a very senior employee from Uber.
Wow.
Now, what has that done to the firm? He's shaping their content strategy and the way they appear externally. He's not an accountant, but he's bringing such a lot of perspective to an accounting environment because they're head down in a set way of doing things. And Uber is a tech company. It's a very different way of doing things. So let's talk about strengths for a moment. I've seen firms try and clone partners and try and clone leaders, and everyone be like this. And when we cut you, you bleed our culture and you try and make everyone the same. Do firms, in your view, try to model everyone into the same partner profile? Is that the recipe for success?
That's what they're doing in a lot of firms, but I don't think modern firms need uniform partners. They need complementary ones, just like that Uber executive. I think that diversity of opinions and experience and thought really is beneficial. One partner may excel at rainmaking, another at operations, another is that technical authority. Somebody else might be really good at the culture and talent development. Instead of asking, does this person fit every single box and check every box, ask, what are they exceptional at and how do we build their role around what they're good at? That's a much more sustainable leadership model.
And you spoke earlier about succession. If you can identify these traits in people early, you can start to subtly direct them into partnership and leadership roles and get ahead of the game so that when the time comes, they'll be ready. So what happens if firms ignore this, as many of them are, Chelsea?
Yeah, I think in that situation, you're going to see manager burnout. You're going to see some higher turnover at that mid-level. There's weak succession pipelines because the staff are looking at partnership saying, that's not me. That box, that mold is not me. That's not something I'm interested in. You're going to see cultural inconsistencies and a lot of pressure on profitability. So leadership gaps really compound those leverage gaps. If you don't intentionally develop your leaders, you'll end up overloading those few who can carry the weight. And that is not scalable.
I'm seeing in corporate life too, people don't want leadership. They don't want the stress. They don't want the hassle of management. Now, maybe that's because they're not ready or they're not being trained and equipped to deal with that. But we don't maybe sell leadership positions beyond the salary and the package in the corner office as well as we could do. But you're right. It's not scalable the way we've been doing it, perhaps. So what's the big takeaway here, Chelsea, for our audience?
Yeah. The next decade, I don't think will be won by firms with the best technicians.
Yeah, it's going to be won by millions of great technicians out there.
Right. We're a trusted advisor. Okay. Well, being trusted as a CPA firm is the barrier to entry. It's really going to be won by those firms with strong leadership pipelines. If your firm wants that sustainable growth, advisory expansion, successful succession, or cultural resilience, you cannot treat leadership as a byproduct of technical excellence. You have to build it on purpose.
And maybe the question every CEO, managing partner of a firm should be asking is this: are we promoting readiness or are we rewarding production?
That is the right question.
If this conversation has resonated with you, we're pleased about that because this is what we do on the Inside Public Accounting podcast. We bring the numbers to life with the stories, the narratives behind it, and give you practical insights on what you can do in your firm. So share it with your leadership team. These are not small structural issues. You are shaping the future of your firm, and we're holding your hand and helping you do it.
Yeah. And if there's leadership challenges you would like us to explore in future episodes, send it our way. We're always listening and wanting to speak on the topics that are of interest to you guys.
We do. So reach out wherever you find us and send your questions in. We do Q&A episodes from time to time, but we will, as Chelsea says, hit the topics you want us to hit. Thank you for joining us on Inside Public Accounting. Please like, subscribe, or leave a comment, and we'll see you next time.